friends to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and it is Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you, as always, in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior, with a reminder to you, friend. He wants to be your Savior. He can be. He came to be. Remember what Luke 19 and 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Now listen, friend, if you're not saved, you can be. If you're not saved, you need to be. If you're not saved, oh, I pray that this will be the day of your salvation. Isn't it a beautiful day? Oh, I'm telling you, friend, it's a lovely day. It's a wonderful day. It'd be a wonderful day to you, for you to just repent of your sins and by faith receive Christ as your Savior. Well, Debbie and I are tickled that you tuned in. Debbie and I are glad that you've given us this time. You've joined with us. You're such an important part of this program, and I mean that. I mean that. You say, "Preacher, I don't do anything but listen." Well, you're an important part of it. Oh, I appreciate those that pray for us, that listen to us, and those few that support us. I'm thankful for all of you, and if more of you want to support us, I'd be glad, and I believe God would bless you, but you're an important part. It wouldn't do me any good to be speaking if somebody wasn't there listening, and I prayed that you'd pray for me. I'm certainly, Debbie and I are certainly praying for you. We count it an honor. Count it an honor to be brought into your home, into your heart, wherever you may be traveling to church, to work from, wherever it may be. We're just happy to be a part of your day. Now, Debbie's got a song ready to go. The title of it is "He Knew," and boy, it's a good song. It really is. I've got a message ready to go. It's a strange message, I think, but it's something that just simply will not let go of me. I'll tell you probably know more about it than I do, but I'm going to try my best to do my little best in this message for God's glory and for your edification, and I trust it will be a blessing to you. If you like any of these programs or projects that Debbie has done, just simply write us and let us know. I encourage you to go to our website, inspirationaltruths.com, and look at what's going on there. We finally got a host that, we've just grown the website. We believe it'll be worth your time going to visit. So anyway, you drop us a note via email, snail mail, and you be sure to pray for us. Here's Debbie with "He Knew." I'll be back in the book of Exodus, the book of redemption, chapter 4, for the message. I do ask that you would pray for me.
From the beginning, the Father said to the Son, "You must go and die for lost souls." He had in mind he would be crucified. Now the
God He does. Thank God He does. Thank you, Debbie, for that beautiful song. I love it. Some of her earliest and, well, some of her finest, I'll tell you. God knows, does He not? God knows. I've turned my Bibles. I was telling you to the book of Exodus, the book on redemption. Do you know that redemption is always by two things? It's always by the blood, and it's always by power. And I'm going to read to you what I think is one of the most unique passages of Scripture there is in the Word of God. There is, to me, a note of mystery about this, and yet I believe that there is a message in this that God wants you and I to get, something that you and I need to consider. And listen now, in chapter 4 of the book of Exodus, the Word of God says this in verses 24 and 5, "It came to pass, by the way, in the end, that the Lord met him," speaking of Moses now, "and sought to kill him." I want to say, wow, after that. "And then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet," meaning Moses' feet, "and said, 'Surely, a bloody husband art thou to me.'" Look, friends, I'm going to talk to you a little while today, and I believe there could be a lot. I really believe that there could be a lot of different texts that we could take concerning this passage of Scripture, but I'm going to talk about, for a little while, the essentials of obedience. The essentials of obedience. Do you know that God pays attention to everything going on in our life, and especially those things that God commands for us to do, especially those things that reveal the glory of God, that reflect our obedience to the will of God and the work of God, especially those things that prepare us for the work of God that God has called us to. Now, let me give you the background of this passage of Scripture. Let me give you the setting before it and a little bit of what follows it. And the children of Israel at this time had been in Egypt about 400 years. They were ready to be delivered. I mean, they had been there. They had been under oppression. They had been multiplying at the promise of God, or the prophecy of God. Remember what God said to Abraham, maybe in chapter 15 of the book of Exodus. He said, "Look, now you'll see, they'll go into Egypt. They'll be a captive there for a period of time, and they'll remain there until the iniquity of the Amorite is full. Then God, in essence, was saying, 'I'll send a deliverer, I'll judge the Amorite, and I'll lead the children of Israel out of bondage, and I'll bring them into the land of promise. The land, Abraham, that I promised to you, I'll give to your seed and your seed after you.'" Well, look, that time had come. A man of the name of Moses had been raised up. And by this time, we find Moses about 80 years of age. He had spent the first 40 years of his life down in Egypt itself. He had been raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He had been educated in school in the finest that Egypt could allow him to be educated and schooled by. He was cultured. He was courtly. He was educated. I mean to tell you, he was a prize. He was a product of the court. He was there by a divine edict. And now we find him 40 years, 80 years into his life, 40 years after he had left Egypt on the run, so to speak, and he had been spending 40 years in the desert unlearning to some degree what he had spent 40 years learning. But the most important lesson that he would had learned is, look, that if anything is done through me and by me, God must do it. Now you remember, don't you, what brought Moses to the desert? He rose up and he slew somebody that was injuring one of his Jewish or one of his Jewish brethren, somebody that he was kin to. He rose up and slew an Egyptian. Well, when the thing was found out, when the message was told, he fled. He fled into the wilderness. He ended up at a place called Midian, at a home of a man by the name of Jethro, and he took the daughter of Jethro by the name of Zipporah. Well, by this time, God had met Moses, according to chapter 3, on the backside of the desert, revealed himself to him in a burning bush. What a great conversation God had with Moses, and what a great education Moses got from God in a very short span of time. And in chapter 4, friend, we have the ending of that. We have the remainder of that initial meeting of Moses, or meeting of God with Moses on the backside of the desert in that bush that burned and yet was not consumed. Now, Moses got his call. Moses understood what he was supposed to do, where he was supposed to do it, and how he was supposed to do it. But chapter 4 is interesting because in this passage, we find Moses still doing what a lot of people do when they get called of God, refuting God, objecting to God's call, giving God all the excuses in the world why we can't do it, instead of saying, God, by your grace, with your power, for your glory, I'll do this. Well, we find Moses saying, listen, God, how can I convince these people that you've sent me? You've already told me now that I am have sent me, but how can I prove it? And God gives him three signs, does he not? God told him to cast down his rod. Isn't it amazing how that Moses' rod became the rod of God? We'll see that in just a little bit. But I'll tell you what, when we give up what we've got, give it to God, God will take and use it for His honor and His glory, His good, and for the good of others too, if we'll just give it up to God. Look, that rod turned into a serpent, then it turned into a rod again. He said, stick your hand in your bosom. Stuck his hand in his bosom. It came out leprous. Put it back in. It came out clean. He said, now look, I'm going to tell you what, this don't work. You turn some water into blood. Well, Moses got his instructions. God had already proved to him, revealed to him, manifest to him undeniably that he would go with him and that he was to do a great work. And then Moses said, look, I can't do it by myself. Can't talk, can't utter a thing. I mean, I'm tongue-tied, I stutter, and God got upset at him. He said, well, look, son, take your brother, I'll send him. Well, that satisfied Moses. Whatever reason, whatever it did, that satisfied him. Moses headed back to Jethro's house, and he said, listen, in chapter 4, verse 19, he said, I've got to get back down to Egypt. God has sent me down to Egypt. And look at what it said now, the latter part of verse 20, and Moses took the rod of God with him. Old Jethro said, all right, son, all right, you go. Now listen, the people of Midian, they were a part of Abraham's descendants, not from Isaac, but from Ishmael, and they were monotheistic, and they believed God, and they believed His promises, and probably even, and I don't know this, well, I better not say it, so I'll let that go. But anyway, Jethro said go, so off they went. Moses and Zipporah and his family headed back down to Egypt. God said, listen. Then somebody said in verse 22, thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refusest, let him go. Behold, I will slay thy son. Now that's what brings us to this very unique passage of Scripture. And it says this in verse 24, and it came to pass, by the way, in the end. Now, this is remarkable to me. God knows everything, does He not? God had called Abraham, God had called Moses, God had enabled Moses, God had instructed Moses, God had given him signs for the children of Israel to prove that he had talked to the Lord God Almighty, that the great I Am that I Am had sent him, that he was on a mission, that God was going to keep His promise to Abraham, that He was about to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. God had sent him. Now listen to this. And Moses was on his way to do the will of God, but God got in his way. God met him. Moses. Friend, Moses was just as sure headed to Egypt as I'm standing here this day talking to you, drawing the breath that I am, giving out the verbiage that I am. Moses was on his way. He thought he was in the will of God, ready to do the work for God, ready to see God work through him. He was on his way. But the Lord met him. Moses thought he had everything, listen, now all fixed up, everything in order, everything right. But listen, I'm talking to you about the essentials of obedience. Let me ask you something. Where are you disobedient in your life and your relationship with Jesus Christ? You that are saved, you that are on your way to heaven, you that believe you know the will of God for your life, you that know the Word of God. Let me ask you something. Where are you disobedient in your life? Now, for some of you listening to this old country preacher today, immediately something comes before your mind. Immediately something comes before you. Immediately your heart is convicted. Immediately a word. Immediately a command. Immediately a passage of Scripture. Immediately something comes before you. And you say, boy, that's it, preacher. That's it. Here's where I'm disobedient. And I'm going to tell you something. God is a God of grace. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of love. God is long-suffering. But I want to tell you something. God's holy. God is God. God, listen, God demands obedience. God expects to be obedient. But let me tell you something. From our point of view, God deserves obedience. And He deserves complete obedience. You say, preacher, you've always been completely obedient. No, I haven't. To my shame, I have not. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of areas in my life that are obedient. Thank God, and I'm working on the others. But look, friend, look. If there's a problem, if there's been something that's confronted you, if God's gotten in your way, hey, don't you think it's time that you do something about it? Listen to what the Word of God says. And it came to pass by the way in the end that the Lord met him. Now, undoubtedly, somewhere Moses, Zipporah, his two sons, and all the entourage that was with him, heading to Egypt to do the will of God. He had the Word of God. He had the call of God. God met him. He stopped to rest. Do you hear? He had stopped to rest, and God met him in the way. Well, I'm going to tell you what, God knows where to meet us. God knows when to meet us. God knows how to meet us. God knows why to meet us. And listen to what the Word of God said, and sought to kill him. God would have killed him flat out. God would have killed him there had he not obeyed. Now you say, listen, he didn't obey. Well, his wife did. He took care of it. Listen, there is a sin unto death, 1 John chapter 5 says. There is a sin unto death. I believe when John was writing the church of Ephesus, it's the words of Jesus. He said, listen, he said, except you repent, I'll remove your candlestick. You know what? There are a lot of Christians that are dead. I mean to tell you, they're dead. They don't have any light about them. They don't have any life about them. Listen, they have a name that they're living, but they are dead. You say, why, preacher? And listen to me. I'm not judging. I'm just telling the Word of God. I don't have anybody in mind. I don't have anybody at all in mind. But bless God, you know it, and so does God know it. And you say, preacher, what if I'm that one? What if I'm? I'll tell you what to do. Repent. Take care of it. Do something about now what you know you've been disobedient in. You say, preacher, it's not much. Well, this didn't seem undoubtedly much to Moses. The only thing he had done, he had disobeyed what God said to Abraham, chapter 17, the book of Genesis. He hadn't followed through with the covenant of his people. He didn't have, and listen, he didn't have the gump, I guess you could say it that way, to be obedient to God rather than be obedient or to try to appease his wife. He circumcised his first son, Gershom, and he didn't Eleazar, his second son. And God said, now wait just a minute. Son, you think you're going down there to deliver my children, my firstborn out of Egypt, and you've not even circumcised your second son. You've not dealt with the flesh. You've not dealt with my will. You've not obeyed my word. You've not done it my way. Hey, listen, we've got a problem here. Let me ask you something. Have you been saved and yet not been baptized? Have you been saved for any period of time and yet not been baptized? I wonder what God would say to you. How about you that have been saved and baptized, but you only go to church when you want to? You only go to church on Sunday morning. Well, I tell you what, America's turned into a Sunday morning only a nation. They call themselves a Christian nation. Thank God. I'll tell you, the Bible said that we ought not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Why don't you go back Sunday night? Why don't you go Wednesday? Somebody said, if you love your children, you go Sunday morning. If you love your pastor, you go Sunday night. If you love the Lord, to go on Wednesday. I like that. I wish I could think things like that originally myself. But listen to me. Maybe you've been baptized, but you're not going to church very faithful. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe you're going to church pretty faithful, but you're not reading your Word. You're not reading your Word. You're not reading the Word of God. You've been saved 10 years. You've never read the Word of God through. You've never committed 10 verses of Scripture to memory. You couldn't lead somebody to the Lord if you had to. And yet the Word of God says, let every man, look, every man be ready to give an answer of the hope that lieth within him with meekness and with fear. We're to be seasoned. Listen to me, friend. Hey, are you disobeying God? Has God met you in the wave this morning? Now, you're not going to die physically. You're not going to die physically, but you may be dying spiritually. You've lost a testimony that you want had. Maybe you've never had a testimony. How come? Maybe you're being disobedient. I'm going to tell you something. Obedience is essential. Do you hear me? The essentials of obedience. Obedience is essential. Obedience to God, regardless of how we think about it, regardless of how we feel about it. I want you to know obedience is essential to be blessed. And God met him in the way. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe you're going to church. Maybe you're reading your Bible, but you're not praying very much. Boy, might I tell you what, I don't know if I ever be satisfied in my prayer life. I pray for him, but I don't know that I could ever pray enough. How's your prayer life? The only time you pray is when you get ready to go to bed. You never spend any quality time before God. Hey, listen, friend. Listen, obedience is essential. Do you hear me? How about witnessing? You haven't told anybody in a long time that you'd like to see him come to church. As a matter of fact, you'd like to see him go to heaven, that you'd like to tell them how, just by giving them 4 simple verses of Scripture that contain the power of God in them so that they might know that they could be saved and on their way to heaven. Hey, friend, listen. Where are you disobedient? Where are you disobedient? Maybe it's not in something that you aren't doing, but something that you are doing. You know what? You may be listening to the wrong thing. You may be watching the wrong thing. You may be going to the wrong place. You may be doing the wrong thing. You may be caught up with what the crowd says, oh, that little thing won't bother you. That little thing won't hurt, but down in your heart, the Spirit of God dwells within you. He just shakes his head and says, uh-uh, wouldn't do that. That's not healthy. That's not good. That's not Christ-like. That's not being obedient. Look, where's it at? Where's it at in your life? What's in there that shouldn't be? Hey, God demands, listen, obedience. It's essential. This Zipporah took a sharp stone, cut off the foreskin of her son, cast it at his feet, meaning Moses, said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. You know what Zipporah did? She took something sharp and circumcised her second-born son. Do you know what? That took care of it. Listen, I'll tell you what you can do. You can take the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the son of the soul and spirit and the joints in the marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. You can take the Word of God and get taken care of whatever is the problem in your life. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. Verse 12 of chapter 4 of Hebrews, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and the spirit and the joints in the marrow, and is discerned of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Listen, what do you need to get rid of? What's standing in your way of your essential obedience? There are things that are essential. There are things that are essential. God's met you today. God has threatened you today. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do before God? Listen, let's go to Him in prayer. Oh God, I pray this morning, Lord, where my disobedience is, and God, where You've shown it to me, and where You've shown disobedience to others. I pray that we might be honest with You, and God, that we might take the Word of God and take action according to it, God, that we might lay it before You, that we might get rid of or bring to us whatever we need to do in obedience. Oh God, hear our prayer today. Make Your Word real, Your power real, Your presence real. Lord, if somebody's lost, save them. Somebody backslidden, reclaim them. Just do a work on us. Do a work in us so You can do a work through us. In the name of Jesus, Your Son, I pray these things. Well, listen, friend. The essentials of obedience. Let's be obedient to God. Until the next time, it's my prayer. God will richly bless you. Thanks for joining us. Join us again.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruth.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ears. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.